Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast, Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. That is, first of all, we appreciate the support and clicking on our logo or our faces. This podcast we recorded at the archery trade show at the beginning of January. That's how delayed we are. And we might actually launch two episodes this week, one today, which you're listening to, and then I'm thinking about launching another one tomorrow for you guys, which we haven't done in a while, but I think we're due for that. We're due for a double week, right? Get some more content coming in for your Thursday, Friday at the end of your work week, and carry into the weekend if you got any driving or work to do around the house, or if you're at work, shout out to you. If you guys haven't, give us a rating, a review, a share. Any love anywhere is much appreciated, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen, and or inviting people to our Facebook page or community there. Anything at all is greatly, greatly appreciated. And shout out to our sponsors. We got some updated promo codes coming. One thing, did you guys see? We just put out a YouTube video a couple days ago of something that's consuming, or I don't know if consuming or causing some of our stress lately. We bought the neighboring, I know we've kind of talked about it loosely, but we're just now starting to like really work on it. We bought the neighboring building to our studio to expand a little bit, and we have some ideas, and that'll evolve a little bit. I might try and do like a vlog type series on the progression of what we're doing, but it's called We Bought a Dumpster Fire on the YouTubes. So if you go on there, watch it, let us know what you think in the comments there, or what we should do with the building. We have a lot of ideas and things we might be able to pull off or not pull off with that damn building. But it's a disaster. It's making me a little nervous. The podcast is presented by Elite Archery. Officially, all our Omnias have made it to the studio. So we're excited. I think we're going to try and get down to the McDaniels at Shooter's Archery and get them babies tuned up and shooting right. Just got to get that going here, especially before turkey season. We got a bear hunt coming up, but those are in. Also an update, we're working on getting a new promo code, or at least getting the same promo code active for all Outdoor Group products. So it was code WCB before. We're working on getting that back and rocking. Also big time food plot seed supplemental feed, if you can do that in your state. That is code WCB 2023. I'm actually going to do some frost seeding this year with some clover, and I'm going to make both my plots that I am running, and I think I might put in a new plot on a new property. I'm going to start with clover and then see what I want to do for the fall, if we're going to do some of that BYOB option, blend options, and we'll see there. But big time, great partner. Very proud of that partnership. Code WCB 2023. Also, Huntworth. Huntworth is running a sale right now. I talked to Karen this morning. The company's so awesome to work with. It's insane. Huntworthgear.com. Right now, I'm on their website. They have three awesome patterns. They're a really good sale right now. 20% off. Some jackets are 50% off. Some pants are 50% off, which is insane. So get to Huntworth Gear. If you do miss that sale, you can always use code WCB15. Save yourself some money there. Check them out. Do not sleep on Huntworth, man. They're constantly evolving and trying to do better and make things better and in product development and really asking all of their partners, like they're true partners. When you work with Huntworth, you're a true partner and part of the brand. And that value to us is incredible. And we're super thankful to be a part of that Huntworth family. And I think Tarnin might take the cake for the best camo pattern out right now. It's fucking badass. I want everything covered in Tarnin. Really, I do. I want to get an elite bow covered in Tarnin. How badass would that be? We need to make that happen. The podcast also brought to you by Scent Crusher. We all know Scent Crusher from Scent Elimination with the Ozone Game, Old Barn Taxidermy, Man, Old Barn has a new line of custom whitetail forms, G2 forms. So if you have a taxidermist in your area, you can't get to Old Barn, they can still get and carry the G2 form line, which is a more affordable option for a lot of your taxidermists. So your taxidermist makes more money and you can save money all at the same time. And it's quality, and you know it comes from good people who care about how taxidermy looks. If you go into a taxidermy shop and you feel that you're being a burden to their time, or if you want to do something creative, if you feel like you're a burden to that shop, walk out of that shop and find a new taxidermist. That is a feeling that I grew up with going to taxidermy shops, and Old Barn has eliminated that feeling. And if you, I hope you know what feeling I'm talking about. Tattoo shops have a similar vibe. You get a tattoo artist, it's like too cool for school. Sometimes your taxidermist is burnt out and doesn't want to do shit or do things out of the box. Old Barn thrives on that, and I've seen the light to what good taxidermy is. So if you have that feeling at your taxidermist, back the fuck out and find a better taxidermist. That I can't stress that enough. You don't need to be on eggshells around your taxidermist. They're an artist. They should be passionate about doing cool stuff and doing great work for you. It's weird that that's even part of the conversation when it comes to taxidermy. Also, Leupold Optics, man. I rock 12x50s in Mexico the whole time. I'm glassing all day. Good glass is very important when it comes, especially Western hunting. But even so, you know, get a pair of 10x42s. Check out some of their rangefinders. I don't go hunting without my binos or my rangefinder anymore. I don't even go to the woods without them. I always have them. Shed hunting's coming up. Be on the lookout with sheds. Save your feet. Save some walking. Bring some binos. Definitely a game changer. Trophy line, code WCB2310, new code WCB2310. We're talking the new Onyx platform. Did you see that launch at ATA? That thing is badass. I can't wait to start messing around with it this summer and get to using it in the fall. Thinking about taking it to Canada for bear camp. It'd be kind of a fun thing to do. But also, if you just want to get anything else, we're talking sticks, other platforms they offer, packs, whatever saddle setup you want to run, Lyman's, anything. Code WCB2310 works for that on Trophy Line's website. Spy Point, that's what this episode is. Camo Fire. I'm going to go to Camo Fire right now. This is Doug's famous delete your browser history. And Camo Fire is one of those great places where you can save yourself a lot of money on a lot of great deals, especially if you have a hunt coming up. You can save a bunch. Like right now, they have scopes, releases, knives, different spotters, decoys. They even have shotgun sights on here. It's kind of random and a little sporadic. They do have theme days, but we're talking like stuff up to 50% off some days. There's even taxidermy stuff on here. So if you have a big hunt coming up, or you're just wanting to accumulate some of the stuff for like a Western trip or a big hunting trip, Camo Fire is a great thing. You can download the app. You can go check it daily from your desktop. Refresh that revolving deals. These deals reload in 10 hours, and it'll be also another great page of good deals. So check out Camo Fire. Tell them we sent you. Also, Dialed Archery, the new sights. Scott's actually going to be in the studio here soon, so we're going to do the full breakdown on Dialed Archery. Code is Working Class. Save free shipping on your next Dialed sight purchase or your first Dialed sight purchase. I'm running through the sponsors the way I'm doing it is because we haven't really done it in detail with how busy we've been. So sorry if it's a little long-winded, but it's just part of the biz, and we do appreciate our partners. Novix Tree Stands. If you're a Hilo or an Echo guy, those are two great options for tree stands, man. I think some of the best tree stands in the game. And we have a new code, WCB10. So that's a brand new code. This is the first time I'm announcing that code, WCB10. You can save yourself some money on Novix stands. I don't know if it works on apparel. It might. So check it out. Made in USA. Get a stand that you can trust your life with that's made by good people here in Peoria, Illinois. Love those guys at Novix. Love them. Also, trade show coming up end of February 23rd through the 26th, Indiana Deer Turkey Waterfowl Expo. We're going to be right next to Big Time and the boys at Novix. Hopefully we're sandwiched in between. It's going to be a party right there. Come on out and see us. Hang out. Meet the people from the brands we work with, and you understand why we love them so damn much. Code WCB10. Okay. That's all I'm going to hit for this one, and we're going to move on and get to the podcast. This one was a lot of fun. Trent Marsh is a fun character. We talk trail cams. We talk marketing. We talk business. He's such a people person. It's so refreshing. Always have a great time talking to Trent. And it's always fun to see him at ATA. They take us out to dinner. They treat us right. But anyway, long-winded on the intro. Again, can't thank you guys enough for the support. And next one, we'll have a veteran shout-out. And I really can't think of any other announcement. I just kind of feel like I talked a lot, so now I want to get to your guys' episode for you. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoy this one. And we'll launch another one tomorrow for you guys listening to me rant today. Thank you.
I'm Chase Ralston with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Bachman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working Class Bow Hunter, ATA 2023.
That's right.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Trent Marsh.
Hi.
How are you, man?
Hi.
Peachy.
You are
Peachy.
Known as the stick not behind the trail cam guy now from last yeah. year.
Officially? Stick, not that's a terrible. We need to come up with something.
We'll figure that out by the end of the show.
Yeah, we need to come up with something other than the not stick guy.
Well, I think people loved it, and then some people felt like you were attacking them.
Well, that's fine. I mean, it's 2023. Cancel culture is a real thing.
It is,
and
cancel sticks.
I'm here to stick shame people.
Stick shame.
That's just you know.
It is what it is.
Yeah. It's funny. Of course, we're going to get more feedback than you would directly. But I asked you, like, did you see any of the memes people made about it?
I didn't know that there. I saw some comments, but I didn't realize there were actually memes.
There's a handful of memes. There's mm-hmm. some comments. And in a good way, though.
Like, I mean, that's positive. Generally, when I'm memed, it's a big negative. So, well, some of them were positive.
I think a lot of it was sarcastic, but also, like, I didn't really plan for it to be, like, an educational episode. It kind of turned it out to be one.
Yeah.
Which is a good. It's a good problem.
Right.
It was organic.
So you're the stick trail cam guy.
The stick trail cam guy.
That'll get that nickname will dial in as we go along.
Yeah, we'll hone it in.
Hone it in.
Yeah.
So how's the year been? The Flex has been out. A year, roughly?
I sat in a tree 6 times this year.
So busy.
Yeah.
I was like, not good or good?
Yeah, I mean, and we talked about this even, you know, when I was on last year. Oh, you work in the industry. Bull. Just it doesn't work that way.
People think you can do whatever you want.
Right.
Exactly. You know, we're middle of November. I'm working on a catalog, trade show environmentals, ad copies, press releases. Like, that's my busy time. When I can get out, I get out. That's great. But I had access issues this year, too.
Yeah.
So that guy the landowner, we got a landowner that's dying, losing some of that. So that was kind of stressful. But, Flex launch was awesome. We've been busy all year. You guys have been using the cameras. Pictures are awesome. The video's awesome. It's just...
And easy to set up.
They're easy to set up. And cell cams are still on the way up. It's something that... And it wasn't that long ago that the cameras themselves were $1,000 and the plans were $20-$30 a month per camera.
Right. Yep. I remember those days. I was like, I'll never be able to afford a cell cam.
Never. Well, and you know, the vast majority of my hunting is within 20 minutes of where I live. Like, literally when I started, I'm like, I would never use this technology. And then, like, 3 days, I'm like, how did I live without this technology?
Right, yeah. Once you actually get one, you're like.
Well, part of it's like an addiction thing.
It's FOMO. It's FOMO.
It is FOMO, yeah.
It's absolutely because I wake up in the morning, I'm like, it is 14 degrees outside, and I don't want to go. Oh, I don't have to.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Awesome. I can see what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, it spoils you,
so
fast.
Do you think, though, like, I don't know, do you think it's cell cams are, for me, I can almost, like, hear the argument that they can kind of ruin you a little bit. Like, you might avoid a spot because you think just that side of the tree is showing everything in a spot where you go sit in that spot. You're like, oh, they're over there the whole time. And this is like a hot spot right now, but the trail cam on that tree, on that side of the tree, didn't show it.
I don't think that's just cell cams. I just think that you can react to cell cams quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're just pulling traditional cards, you do the same. You process the information the same way.
Good point. That doesn't change.
I think we've talked about. You know, guys end up chasing ghosts.
Yeah, you're right.
They get one picture of a buck in August. Oh, that's my target buck. He's gone.
Yeah, he doesn't live there.
8 miles.
He lives on Doug's farm.
Right? Exactly.
He's hanging out with me.
They're awesome tools. As long as you keep it all in the right context.
Right.
For sure. That's a good way to put it.
There's no magic bullet. You know, even the Flex, we didn't put an arrow in it. It doesn't shoot laser death rays. Like, you still have to go do it.
2025. Death rays.
But you
death ray technology.
Lasers.
It's like, up to you to process that information.
For sure.
You know,
yeah.
there are guys every year not killing big deer because they're acting like idiots with the decisions that they're making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
There are guys every year that don't have big deer on their farm that still manage to kill really good deer because they make the right decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's
laid out. We don't ever have to do a podcast again, really, when you lay it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly,
all the rest of this,
we're done here.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
But that's... Use the information responsibly and make sure you're not overreact. That's the problem, is people overreact to information.
Yeah.
And there's times where that's a great thing. You know what I mean? But, you know, and even like the folks that say, well, it's an unfair advantage. Oh, it's too easy to. No, it's not. Like,
yeah.
I'm not 20 feet away when I get the text that the dude
said.
I'm standing I'm not like in the stand. Subway, like right. 40 minutes.
I'm still in bed.
All cell cams really do at the end of the day, more hunters have been pissed off, frustrated, and wanted to give up deer season than big bucks have been killed because they got the text when they're standing in line at Subway.
Well,
they're sitting in a work meeting.
I know that feeling.
Yesterday. I'll find that email. Hold on. And then he's scrolling through his picture. He's like, of course he's there.
Yeah.
That's...
I know that feeling yesterday, because yesterday was the last day of season in Iowa.
Okay, you heard the chip bet thing?
Yep, I did.
Okay.
So yesterday was the last day for me to kill a buck, but I was here.
Mm-hmm.
Cell camera goes off. Six bucks walk right in front of my blind.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen a buck there in 2 months.
Hey, would any of those bucks would have beat Doug's buck?
Three of them.
Hey,
no way.
Three of them. Hey, you played an honorable game, and I just want to say I was rooting for you. When Doug conveniently forgot about a podcast 1 week.
Amazing. My cell cams.
I blame him.
That's fine.
No, just he was with a lady.
The cell cam, I actually find that harder to believe than the cell cam.
The verdict's still out, actually.
Ouch.
Doug's just looking over like, what's that mean?
You didn't have to say what you were thinking. I could see it in your eyes.
Your mustache was... tingly.
I feel bad for the people that are listening to the podcast instead of watching the video, because
Doug puts off, he's got an aura to him.
He does. And that was a very dark,
a vibe.
Very menacing, very
menacing.
Very stare. Die in a ditch, you son of a bitch vibe.
No, I never said that. I never said that.
No, you didn't say it.
Your eyes said it.
The mustache twitched. It was clear for us to see it.
Well, Eric did get a slice of that, like, cell cam FOMO pie, I guess.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Which is painful. And then, do you think, also, too, did we touch on this last year? It's been a year, so I don't remember all the details. Certain more western states on the trail cam ban. Do you guys even sweat at that?
I mean, most of them already had some pretty big limitations. The outright bans, they kind of suck. And then, like,
do you think Midwest states will ever do it?
I'll say this year what I said last year. Like, Arizona, for example.
Yeah.
A lot of the tags that get sold in Arizona are for out-of-state hunters.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So
that whole conversation just came back to me right when you said that.
It's one of those deals where, okay, it's fine. You live in Virginia, you live in Wisconsin, you live in Indiana. You got to worry about all the regulations in your home state first.
Yeah.
Right.
You get drawn once every 5, 6, 8, 10, 15 years in these other states. You don't worry about the regulations there until you get drawn for the tag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's fine to say in Arizona, where there's like 6 people that live, or Wyoming, where there's 12 people that live, hey, you 12 people, you can't use cell cams, piss off.
Yeah.
But then try to go to Wisconsin and tell 600,000 deer hunters, oh, by the way,
no more trail cameras.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I forgot. We did touch on that
pretty
heavily. You made the good point. It's like a lot of guys that hunt in Colorado are from Pennsylvania.
Right.
You know, that's a good way to think about it. That's a healthy way to look at it.
They just don't have time to, Yeah, they can't focus on every game every game law that's up for review right now.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
For sure. Well, let's get in the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
What's new?
Well, you know, I got some new pots and pans for
Christmas. Pots and pans?
Yeah.
Are they nice?
Yeah, they're really nice.
Got a cowboy hat.
Pioneer Woman? Yeah. Did you get some Pioneer Woman cookware?
No.
Okay. Don't ask how I know what that is, but I have a wife.
Listen, don't mock the cowboy
I'm not mocking. I'm just saying you have a cowboy hat.
I did. And I've had a cow. Like,
don't mock it.
I'm not.
So
he's had it for multiple years, Doug.
I'm jealous.
New thing.
Well, no, so it's new. That particular cowboy hat is new.
Told you.
Because, like, let's rewind back to when Trent didn't have gray hair and was slightly less fat and was younger and limber. Mm-hmm. I showed and trained quarter horse and paint horses for a good long time. I apprenticed to be a farrier, and it's how I paid for like the first 2 years of college was trading horses and stuff. So there was a significant portion of my life that I spent in a saddle
and a cowboy hat.
And the whole boot and hat thing was super.
So you're legit.
Super
it's
legit.
Fine. So it's, quit making fun of him. Doug.
It's been a while. So what happened was Poma. Remember, tried to get you to come speak at Poma, and then you blew us off.
I didn't.
No. That's fine. We won't focus on that.
The flight was like $2,000 to Montana.
So Poma was in Kalispell, just outside of Glacier, and you know you're in Montana, so there's a place downtown, and then everybody's there, and they're like, hey, like. I look it occasionally, right? And I'm like, can you come help me? So I was like the unofficial, official professional shopper companion for like, I'd just walk in with two or three people and be like, oh, Trent's back. Great.
He knows cowboy hats.
Yeah. I helped sell 12 hats and 8 pairs of boots over the course of 3 days. I was the best salesman. So funny story about the hat though. I'm a happily married man. Get that out there right now.
Did you marry a horse girl from your past?
I did not. Okay. Did not.
Good move.
Horse girl's crazy.
Well, we know.
Horse girl's crazy.
Doug, take notes.
You stay away from the barrel racers.
I like horses.
Been there. Mm-hmm.
Sorry to all. Do we have a huge racing fan base?
You have to start going to church on Wednesdays and Sundays when you start dating barrel. Maybe it's changed again.
Well, goes all our barrel racing fan base.
So
shit, we lost three.
We're helping people shop, and I found a hat. I'm like, oh, I'll try it on, see how it looks. And I turned the corner, and the gal that was helping the two ladies that I was with came around the corner at the same time. And she looked at me. She goes, oh damn. I said, so this is the hat?
That's the
hat.
Damn.
It was one of those deals where, like, Trent. She's just, like, she couldn't have. I was like, okay, so this is the hat then.
All right.
That's that. I still got.
Do you feel
something.
Good? You look good?
Yeah, exactly.
Truck hammers, cowboy hats. What's up?
That's it.
That's what we do.
I like it.
So what's new for real, right? We did the Flex last year.
Yes.
And, you know, video transmission and 33 megapixel photos and just the auto connectivity, the multiple SIM cards, just a killer camera. Mm-hmm. So this year we actually have 3 cameras. So we've got a solar option for the Flex. Nothing else changes. 100-foot flash detection, 0.3 seconds trigger speed, blah, 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 all that stuff that we love about the Flex. But now it's got the integrated solar panel, which is technology that we innovated a handful of years ago,
awesome.
And the internal battery. So the way that'll work, solar panel charges the internal battery. That's always your primary.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it gets reduced to a certain level, then you've got the option. You got 3 different battery backups that you can use for either your double A's, use the lit 22 rechargeable lithium or a 12 volt option.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll toggle over to that backup. And as soon as that panel recharges the internal battery, mm-hmm. kicks back over to that. So
that's automatically.
Yeah. We're looking at season long battery autonomy out of the Flex, which love that.
Awesome.
And that's a solar technology that we pioneered several years ago that people have loved. I mean, it makes it so much easier. I've got a Link Micro S that's got the solar panel on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been out continuously now for 28 months.
No kidding.
Wow. That's awesome.
I've updated firmware and stuff, but I've never charged the battery, never swapped batteries.
Talking batteries, you know, solar panel, obviously a huge benefit, especially mm-hmm. if it's in a spot you're not trying to, you know, human
get
intrusion.
Into.
Lithium to a normal battery, do you guys see much difference between the two batteries?
Yeah, the lithium is just the discharge curve, and I'm not on, like, I'll try to speak geek even though I'm not, right? The mm-hmm. discharge curve on lithium, like if you use lithiums in a flashlight, like it's on, we've all used the old mag lights, right?
Yeah.
Where, mm-hmm. And then they start to, and it's not as bright, not as bright. Lithiums, it's bright, 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 bright. Off.
Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's just the discharge curve on lithiums. But part of the problem is with, as that voltage decreases on the alkaline batteries, like it may still say that there's 50% battery life left, but the voltage is too irregular for the cameras to function properly. So you're just better off with a lithium.
So when it's dead, it's dead, and you know it's dead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you
all right? Yeah, that makes sense.
The big problem that we run into with that is people call customer service and they say, "Well, my app says I'm still at 35% battery life." Okay, and when was the last time it communicated? Well, it's been like 3 days ago. Your batteries are dead. Because it doesn't go 98, 95, 92, yeah. 89. It doesn't do that. It's 99, 99, 99, 99, 99, 99. And then once it drops off, you got two or three transmissions and pff, done.
Done, okay.
That's how lithium, it's just the way lithium acts.
I like that better for the performance of it. Like, I'd rather just know it's dead. But that's always like the big thing with everybody is buying batteries, especially if you're someone that doesn't leave your cell cams or regular, you know, stagnant cameras or whatever your term is for them, pull them back in, excuse me. And then when you go to put them back out, you run to Walmart or whatever, and you're spending, you know, however much you have. But finding lithiums this year.
Not always easy.
No. Motherfucker.
But then.
Couldn't find them.
The other thing too, though, I don't know why people, like, especially like with the micros, we've got the Lit 10 rechargeable packs. Use those.
Yeah. You like those a lot?
Oh, yeah. 100%. You know, we still have the Micro S. Comes with a Lit 10 battery. It's $50 more than what the original Micro was. If you go through two sets of batteries in 1 year, that's done. It's paid for. And that was at 2020 prices.
Now, how long will that last? I know it depends on, like,
on the Micro S, I've got one that's been out 28 months.
Oh, yeah. Well, that
and I've never replaced batteries. And it's the Lit 10 that came with the Micro S. And I run a lot of the Lit 10s in my regular micros, too, because...
Yeah, that does pay for itself really fast.
And
yeah.
even if you're alternating, like even if you don't... Because on a non-solar micro, you're still going to run that battery dead. Like even if you just take a battery tray out and... Even if you're just alternating, at least that saves you half as many, so you don't have to run a whole double set of Lit 10s to be able to run out there to it.
For sure. Yeah, that's always just like the big batteries. It's like the conversation. And then we got into it like on a podcast at one point. It's like where to find the best budget batteries. Mm-hmm. Like if you just had a regular whatever camera, you just wanted to get batteries on it.
Right.
And I think I know the secret, but I'm not going to tell anybody.
Well, yeah, you got to keep that for yourself.
But or like kids' toys, you know, just go buy up your double A's and whatever you need. And if you got to use them for trail cams, you can.
So like with YouTube and stuff, though, because we all have to have electric vehicles in the next few years, right? Like that's part of the reason lithium prices are up. They're, you know, it's going everywhere. Mm-hmm. Go to YouTube and you can find more videos of guys opening a box of batteries and throwing a voltmeter on it and finding bad batteries right out of the box.
I believe that. I had that happen this year.
And again, this is one of those situations where people call customer service and I go, I just put new batteries in. Okay, but check the batteries. They're brand new. Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But between lithium, the available lithium in the marketplace is lower because they're diverting it into all these other locations, you can get a dud out of the box. And you can get a dud out of the box in the year of our Lord 2023 more often than you ever could before. Mm-hmm. Like this is, I mean, it's not Trent or Spy Point. Like just go to YouTube, search tick. I mean, you can find videos of it everywhere. Dude's literally opening the box in front of you, putting a voltmeter on all eight batteries and getting failures out of the box.
Yeah. But you can buy one of the voltmeters at Harbor Freight.
I got one of them little battery tester things where you put it
they're
in.
They're like, what, like $3?
Yep.
Yeah. I think I got mine on Amazon, like literally $2. Yeah.
And so. If it saves you a trip to the woods to troubleshoot a camera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Priceless.
Right. It does. I mean, it's saved me a bunch of money.
But like I said, or you buy the rechargeable lithium packs right out of the gate. And a couple years ago, maybe it seemed like, I don't know if now with the way lithium prices have gone, it's like, well, that's...
Yeah, I'd be glad you have
that's
it.
That's like buying ammunition. Like, that's worth twice what it was.
We don't want to get into Illinois and guns and ammunition.
Yeah, not right now.
Shit's going wild. Like, as of yesterday?
Yep.
They're trying to get rid of our ARs.
I saw. Yeah.
What do you do? Do I go buy an AR now?
Move. I mean, I'm going to go buy a new gas stove, too. Do you see the gas stove thing?
No, what's going on with that?
Oh, no, gas stoves are poisonous now, too, so the government needs to ban gas stoves.
Yeah, because...
Get everybody on electric.
Turns out you have to have the burner on. You can't just turn the gas on.
Yeah, apparently.
What the fuck?
Who knew?
They're poisonous.
Who knew?
It's always stupid. It's always stupid.
Doug's like, fuck, I've been doing that.
No shit, they're poisonous.
Doug's like, I cook with a microwave. I don't know what you're talking about.
Stick your head in there.
Air fryer, baby. How often do you cook with a stove, Doug? In the last month, how many times have you cooked with your stove?
Zero.
How many times have you cooked with your stove since you moved in?
Like five.
And how long have you lived there?
What was it, mac and cheese?
2019. Damn.
Chili. Still got to make chili. Can't make chili in an air fryer.
Canned Hormel chili in the microwave. Moving on. That. Just checking
Moving
in.
Moving on.
Doug's like, enough about me.
Doug cooks his deer burger in the microwave.
Jeez. No, probably. So what else, man? That's exciting.
So, yeah, Flex S is
going
awesome.
Back. This was a hard transition.
All the way back to what we were really talking about. Yeah. So we're also we've got the LM2, right? So my first day on the job with SpyPoint was at ATA 2019. We launched the Link Micro, the first cellular trail camera available under $200. Opened the technology up to all kinds of people that had been holding off on it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's factual. The Link Micro is the single most popular cellular trail camera in the history of the universe, period, paragraph, story. It's just the truth. And it's been a super camera for us.
Since 2019.
Yeah, since 2019. Absolutely.
And you know, like, I have a rough estimate how many, like, units you guys have sold?
Yeah, but I'm going to tell everybody.
Okay. You have fun stats.
I don't need all those corporate spies listening. And
yeah, okay. Good call.
Reverse engineer.
I was trying to get some fun stats out on the show.
They say my first rodeo. All remember, right. I got a real hat.
Damn, you're good.
Come back to cowboy hat.
Son of a bitch, he's good. Okay. Uh-huh. Just
Spurs, too. So it's been a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot.
Okay.
The first year that we launched the Link Micro, we sold more Link Micros than the rest of the industry sold cell cams.
No shit.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it wasn't close.
No kidding.
So
the first one under $200.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I believe that all day.
100%. Mm-hmm.
We were the first ones under 300. We were the first ones under 200. Yeah.
Damn.
And then, you know, now everybody's kind of, we kind of set the market. Everybody's been chasing it.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But so it was time to freshen up that kind of whole Link Micro line. Of course, I'm in marketing, get paid to do marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So the LM2 tagline is sexy. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
The evolution of the revolution.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Think of that,
yeah.
Doug?
Making sex noises because it's that.
Say it
good.
Again.
The evolution of the revolution.
You had your cowboy like hat it, on man. When you came up with that, didn't you?
Nice.
No, I was just looking at it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just in
I like
the background.
That. That's smooth.
It is, right? And that's really what it is. So we went from 10 megapixels to 20. Other than that, we're really there's nothing broke with the Micro. It's an absolute rock solid, simple to use camera. The user interface is exactly the same. We did upgrade it so it'll use the same antenna that the Flex does.
Awesome, yeah.
It's not going to be dual SIM or anything. Like it's still a budget camera. So you can get a whole bunch of them into the woods, but you know, going up to 20 megapixels, so increasing the quality of that photo both in the native and what you're getting in the app, and then same with the antenna, just if it connects better.
Will that do over-the-air firmware updates?
That's a really good question that I don't remember. You stumped me.
Wow.
That's hard doesn't happen often.
Good job.
Hard to stump a guy. We're done here.
This is what happens.
Shut it down.
This is what happens when we launch three cameras instead of one.
Oh, yeah,
it's too much to remember.
Your marketing brain.
Uh-huh.
I do give you mad props. Like, you talk to like a real good guy who's actually good at marketing. There's a lot of people who say they're in marketing. A lot of dudes are just saying that. But like you, our buddy Joe Humphreys, that dude can roll off the smoothest way to market anything. Yeah. And you're like, damn. I want to buy it. What is it?
Right?
You know what I mean? Uh-huh.
It's like, I'm in.
It's the evolution of the revolution.
It's smooth. It's buttery.
Here to tell
just
you.
Rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
So we're doing. It's
buttery.
Here's another example of like smooth marketing brains. We're doing so through Big Time.
Yeah.
He's doing a BYOB, build your own blend.
Dig
of
it.
Seeds.
Dig it.
Of, you know, food plot blends.
Yeah.
But we're all getting our own, like a bar menu.
Right.
Our own blends that we mixed up. And Joe made blends for each of us and named them.
I like it.
And our buddy Austin, who we call the Lord, the Whitetail Lord.
Yeah.
The Last Supper is his blend.
That's not even fair.
That's not fair.
But that's smooth. From the BYOB.
Levels. That's where marketing gets fun is when there's levels.
But from BYOB, build your own blend, and it's a bar menu, and then you're looking.
It's the Last Supper?
That ticks all the boxes.
Yeah. It's just like that. It's like, how did you think of all that?
Just generally in the shower. I guarantee you that idea came to him in the shower.
You probably are pooping.
Maybe.
Could be.
Or at a bar.
I'm usually focusing. Shower, you mind wandering.
When you do that, like, legitimately, real question. Like, you are in the shower, or you're, like, doing – you, like, sit down, like, I'm going to think – how are we going to market this?
You can't.
No.
You can't. And it honestly, like, everybody thinks they want to work in marketing in this industry, right? And it's, yes, I get it and I understand why. But being told when to be creative you guys are crazy. Like, it doesn't, you can't sit down and say, just preparing for this podcast, we didn't sit down and say, okay, here's the 5 or 6 or 8 or 12 right. bullets that we need to talk about. These, you can't do it that. It doesn't, it's not the way the creative function works.
Right.
The bored mind is creative. If you're always on, if you're, I'm going to sit down and think of a fantastic, no.
Yeah, yeah.
You sense. Know that you have to do it, but you, it's very rare. Like,
you just keep it in mind, you know, you have to do it and then let it come to you while exactly, you know you like have to meet the deadline.
Yeah. Hey, I'll get a team's message. I'll get, hey, we need to work on a name or we need to figure out. I'm like, I'll write it on. I have a whiteboard beside my desk and I lean back and I write on it and I just, I can't, hey, be creative and come up with something. Doesn't work.
Then you have that in the back of your head that it's right. on there. I do a lot of my good thinking when I'm mowing because it's like mowing. Just mindless.
Yeah, me too.
And then I'm just thinking about other shit than mowing.
So like my zone out is because I live in northern Indiana, but I'm Chicago sports. I listen to Chicago sports talk radio. Mm-hmm. Like that's my put it on and empty the dishwasher or do laundry yeah. or mow mm-hmm. the yard. And it's because it's not hunting. It's not like it, I have to
get out of the
space. I come up
for
with
a minute.
More stuff listening to people bitch about thinking that Justin Fields is a running quarterback instead of a throwing quarterback, even though that's not what he did at Ohio State, but whatever. So, like, I get more ideas thinking about the offensive line problems for the Chicago Bears or why
100%.
DeMar DeRozan can't stay on his feet after he makes a friggin' jump shot. Like, that's where my creative space is.
Yeah, I get that.
Because if I sit down and oh, we're talking about draw weights, or we're talking it just that's it's too on the nose.
I got you. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And two, I think you know, staying on that marketing combo, I think this conversation is like really interesting because I think about like how things are done or why things are done or like if like that's why I can't like I'm a bad movie watcher because I take if it's an action scene, I take it too literal. I can't be like I can't just enjoy it for what it is, and because I'm always thinking about how they did it, how they thought of the idea, and all that shit.
So
I'm like, that's stupid. That'll never. And I just need to enjoy it.
Do you remember when History Channel did the Bible miniseries?
No,
I know you're talking about. I've never watched.
So
it.
I mean, I'm a watcher.
Surprised.
Let's see what History Channel did with it because there's historical aspect to it. I could like 15 minutes through. I was like, I'm not watching this with you. So they showed like the parting of the Red Sea scene, right? So the Egyptians are chasing the Jews out of Egypt and they've got the chariots, right? And these big Dutch warm blood horses, back to the cowboy hat again. I'm like, that's not the kind of horses they would have had in Egypt. She's like, what are you talking? I said they'd have had their Arabians. They're like way smaller and totally different. But that's not the, she's like, just shut up.
Yeah. We're done here.
I do. Or my favorite is like, you're watching a cop show or something. And the guy draws his gun and it's a striker fire pistol and you hear a hammer cock.
Idiots. Yeah.
Idiots.
Hollywood's like the Hollywood Hunt knowledge
like,
of
just
it.
Give,
oh, geez.
Just, hey, Paramount, if you're listening, HBO, Netflix, if you're listening, like I'm available to consult.
Dude.
$5,000 retainer for the whole year, and I'll just tell you all the ways you're screwing up. And being
this is wrong. Change this. But you
like,
know,
that's
too,
literally my dream job, is just telling other people how they're screwing
but
up.
But there's hunting companies who hire marketing people that don't come from hunting or no hunting. Mm-hmm. Example in our working class bow hunters group on Facebook.
The calendar.
Was the calendar the Arkansas
no.
for the state? And the dude is, I'm finding it real quick so you can see this.
It's good.
Well, dude, but I even think ATA put out some piss poor marketing campaigns. When you look at it, you're like, that dude's never drawn a bow back except for this shit
this
photo.
Picture, right.
Yeah. So, and I'm pretty sure
there was that one viral photo that went around this fall that was a white-tailed deer calendar that had the red stag on it.
Yeah.
And that one, actually, before I saw it, that's good.
Have you seen that?
He's going to rob the 7-Eleven.
Let me see. I don't know.
It's the Arkansas.
Oh yeah,
that's
land for hunting Arkansas game laws, and it's like this dude's never hunted. But my favorite comment right here, Jeremiah Ruth. I can't see fucking shit out of this thing. But like, whoever's their marketing guy for the state of Arkansas.
Well, and like with that, so what happened there? I guarantee that because that is the Bing homepage. That's a story that the Associated Press picked up about it when
he pulled
a Getty image.
Oh, this is on Bing. You're right.
So that was somebody else reporting on what Arkansas did, and they've got some.
This is an ad. Someone took this ad. Potlatch I can't read that. Something land sale. So it's a land sale company. So that someone in real estate that doesn't know anything about hunting.
Let me see that picture again. I'd miss this totally.
That's quality.
They're marketing that to sell hunting land.
Yeah.
On whatever website that is.
I can't see shit on this thing.
So we should be taking pictures like that.
Break it down. How's that happen?
Because it gets outsourced to people that are not subject matter experts.
Mm-hmm.
SMEs are super important. Doesn't matter what. You see the same. If you really get into farm advertising, same thing. If you really get into, go back to the cowboy hat. You really get into like
anything.
Horse, like it doesn't matter. At some point, there is a company that's selling something that has decided that they can pay a 20-year-old intern or somebody that, like, somebody will do the work cheaper mm-hmm. and doesn't really know what they're doing. And then they, okay, well, this is a four-legged animal with antlers on its head. That must be a deer.
Right.
It's yeah. a red stag.
Yeah.
It's not close.
The calendar was good.
The calendar was good. So
I want to buy it just to have it as like a gimmick.
That's it. It's just.
Yeah. And I hopefully SpyPoint and some of these other companies that have intelligent, legit.
I'll get you your check later.
Marketing.
Appreciate you saying all that.
I want a hat.
Okay. Gotcha.
So I don't need a check. Just give me the hat.
Gotcha.
But you know what I mean, though? It's like you got to be like, thank God.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
to a point.
There are several photos, and even if you walk around the floor here, we could find multiple booths using the same pictures of deer because they just go to stock images.
Yeah.
Here. Okay, great. Here's a profile shot of a whitetail buck. And I happen to need that.
No, it's always one in Texas or something. Yeah.
Right.
That's why I always choose like the fifth image. That's a different
approach. At this point though, there's been like even the fifth image is used.
Yeah.
Up.
Yeah.
Got to go to page two.
Yep. So they just, working with a photographer, not cheap. You know,
to get
actual, so it's easier to spend $20, go buy the same stock photo everybody else did, and
blemish it in.
As much as we like to think that hunters are X and they're engaged and they'll catch it, how many people really catch it?
I don't know.
It's
probably not as much as I think they.
No, absolutely not. The percentage of the market that is into it as we think they are really small.
Right. Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that hunt 2 or 3 days a year.
That's a good point.
And as a marketer in this space, that's the toughest thing about it because I know how to market to the hardcore guy. He's reading Deer and Deer Hunting Magazine. He's listening to the Working Class Bowhunter podcast. I can catch him.
Right.
How do I catch the dude that still bought 3 trail cameras last year? But doesn't do any of that stuff because kids are in soccer, or t-ball, or has a job. He happens to go hunt 2 or 3 days out of the year.
Right. So when he does look
buys
for something,
a gun and camo and tree stands and trail cameras, like those are the people that are hard to market to.
Yeah. Fuck, I never really thought about that.
Yeah, you want my job now?
No, never.
Never wanted it.
Because. Everybody, every other product category can market the hardcore people super easy.
Yeah.
You're fans of Working Class Bowhunter podcast. Cool. You watch Backwoods Life. Great. I can go find those people and I can hammer those people.
Yeah.
Maybe 10% of the market. The vast majority of the dollars being spent are by people that are not that into it.
That's got to just be problems like all around. Like that's, thinking about like how to get that guy who's just looking sometimes for gear. How to catch his eye for that tidbit.
So let's go back to the Link Micro launch, right? Like the best thing that ever happened to cellular trail cameras was getting it down to a price that anybody could afford it. Mm-hmm. The worst thing that ever happened was getting it down to a price point where everybody could afford it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that never use trail cameras to begin with, but now it's a cool new thing they can have on their phone, but they're not familiar with trail cameras to begin with. And oh, by the way, they're not all that tech savvy. And then there's this cool new gadget that they can go spend $149 on and they think they can just slap it on a tree.
Right, right.
And then they're calling customer service mad because...
with some sticks.
Or leaving reviews.
Dropping sticks behind. Oh,
son
God.
Of a bitch.
It's a real bad deal.
So, yeah, that is a good point.
And then but those people, they're calling the same customer service line that a guy that has a legit issue is calling about. And they're like, well, why can't I get through? Or why can't... Because we're answering the same question 14 times from dudes that didn't read the quick start guide or watch a YouTube video. Like the resources are there. Go get your answers. I don't know.
That's got to be so frustrating, man.
There are still people sliding into our DMs complaining about stuff whose names I recognize from 3 years ago that were complaining about the same things.
Mm.
And I know for one of these dudes, I flat said, go to your camera and do X, Y, and Z. And if it doesn't fix it, I will personally mail you a micro that I know works from my own personal stash. I'm not doing that. Then I can't help you.
I'm trying.
Like
I'm
What do you want me to do? Short of me driving to Missouri and changing the batteries for you, I can't help anymore.
You guys need a guy to do that.
Should do it once, right?
Professional battery changer.
Just have like a Geek Squad van.
I don't TikTok because I'm old.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's a bad place.
So, but there's the. The TikToks make it into the reels and everything.
Yeah, a week
right?
later.
And there's that audio that it's old now, but a couple of years, like it's been going around the, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wanted to do a reel of cellular trail camera customer support. Have you changed your batteries? I don't know. Are you using a class 10 card? I don't know. Did you choose the carrier model that's right for your area? I don't know. Like this is what it's like. Answering customer service a lot of times is
God.
Like,
I'm glad we just have clothes on our store,
right? And no kids.
It's like, hey man, that size is wrong. Have you tried an extra large?
Right. The shirt's too big. Have you tried a bigger shirt?
Yeah, right. It's like, or me,
it's a simple flow chart.
Wore a large all my life. Now we're all getting a little fat.
Yeah, let's
explore that XL territory. What's up?
No doubt.
But yeah, Ben, I can't. I wouldn't have the patience and or the brain capacity to probably handle some of that.
God love our people that work in customer service.
Because yeah,
it's,
man.
It's, I could not do it.
And honestly, like, it doesn't even, it's not just our, like, anybody that works in customer service.
In general, right? No matter where you're at. Yeah.
I firmly believe that everybody should have to work in retail for 2 years of their life. Like, a lot of people, you should have to serve in the military. No. You should have to work in food service or retail.
Yeah.
If you had to do that.
It's terrible.
You know, one of my early jobs, I worked retail at a hardware store.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the most important lesson I learned there is learning when to say, I don't know. We live in a world where everybody's walking around with a supercomputer in their pocket, so they think they have the answers because they have access to information. Mm-hmm. They don't have access to knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Those are two very different things.
Right.
So it's one thing, you know, you give somebody a bad food plot seed or, you know, tell them to put a stick behind their trail camera. Like, what does that really change, right? Somebody comes in and, I need to put a new breaker in my house, and then you burn their house down because you bullshit your way through an answer and now their kids are dead. Like, that, there's real implications.
Driving along.
But take it to that extreme. To draw the like, you have to be able to say, you know what? That's a really good question.
Yeah,
I don't know. But
I
I'll,
don't have the answer to,
but
I can find someone that can get it for you.
100%.
How much better would the world be if more people had that approach?
Yeah.
To anything and everything,
dude. I think outside of the podcast, like in just general life, I don't have like the energy to fucking argue with anybody or like debate anyone. And I know they're wrong. Just like, yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I got there. I mean. You know, I went to a very small, very liberal college and worked a lot of that out of my system at a very young age. But, yeah, anymore, I'm just like,
I don't know.
No. Hey, you're right.
Hey,
cool.
We'll see you later. I got to go.
Let it run.
That was a great answer.
No. Totally.
I'm going to go.
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. People, I love people, but I don't think I really do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
So. Kinda?
Especially I'm, older in age.
Yeah, you're just like, ah, fuck you guys.
I'm an extroverted introvert. Like, I can come do this.
Yeah.
But I work from home, and I talk to my chickens and my Rottweiler, and I am perfectly, like, I can go days without having physical contact with anybody other than my wife or my kid. I love the self-checkout at Walmart. Everybody wants to bitch about being on payroll at
Did you go to the holiday party?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Self-checkout holiday party?
Yeah, didn't you see the meme? Like, if you use the self-checkout, you needed to be there Christmas Eve from 8 to midnight to put stock up to.
Oh, no.
Did you see that one?
No, I did not.
I love it because I've said for a long time, I like the idea of other people. I love that somewhere on earth there is somebody building a refrigerator for me. I do not ever need to interact with that human being.
I hear you. I hear you. Yeah.
100%.
I respect that.
The idea of other people is awesome.
See, I kind of feel like I'm probably judging by the podcast, everyone would be like, dude, you're full-blown extrovert. Like, of course, I probably appear that way. But I feel introverted, like, I think most times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I go into a grocery store, I all of a sudden get awkward, dude. I'm not making eye contact with anybody in that fucking place, and I'm out of
there. Big crowds freak me out anymore.
Dude, I won't go to a concert now.
No, I've never been a really concert guy anyway, but like even like my job, people that know me in my day to day are like, how do you How is that your job?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You don't like people like that. How are you going to go to ATA and SHOT Show and be around 100,000 of your closest friends?
Well, these are our people, though.
But like this year, we go straight from ATA to SHOT. There's no week in between. Like, this is the once a decade year for that.
Oh, it is.
It's going to kill me.
Yeah.
Because I've got 2 weeks of being on.
You need like a decompressed like 3-day deal.
Yeah, like when I get home after SHOT is wrapped, it's going to take me it will literally take me 3 weeks to recover from being around people for that long.
I get that. Well, dude, after Harrisburg last year, I was a potato. Probably really for most of the other shows. Bless you, Doug. You're sweet. You just bless your soul.
Sorry, guys.
But I'm the same like way.
I'm an extrovert.
Where
for sure,
I feel though. I want to just do nothing.
Yep.
Like, not even at home, nothing after like a long weekend of being around that many people. You know, it's like
tough.
My brain's got to just go into another place. You know,
it's not easy. I mean, it's fun. I like seeing my people, but like even this, like, you know, yeah, I'm at ATA and there's a lot of people around. There's four of us here doing the podcast. This is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's different.
We're not
doing
a podcast with 10,000 people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'm not going to.
Trent, we could tap into a lot of, I mean, we kind of did that when I did the Spy Point podcast. We get talking about other shit, but it's a nice switch up. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Different angles, man.
I got thoughts. And
we can talk trail cams.
Damn it, you people are going to hear
that. I think we talked about trail cameras for about 3 minutes on this podcast.
That's all right, though.
I didn't even get to the third new. We got to get it. I'll get fired if you'll be talking about how great of a marketer I am as I'm unemployed because I didn't talk
awesome
about the third
cowboy
you
hat.
You didn't market them all.
Exactly.
You said you hated people.
I know. But I like the idea of people.
You got your compliments, and then you just crashed the whole
thing. Yeah, just ran it right into the ditch.
You said you hate people.
No, maybe a little bit.
Let's talk about this other camera.
The trail
runner
camera,
down.
The Force Pro S.
Yeah.
So the Force Pro has been out for several years as well, so we added that into this integrated solar panel, onboard battery, same thing. Still 30 megapixels, 4K, 2K, 1080p video. Still a lot of options there. Nothing changed else on the camera. But, so three new cameras, the Flex S, the LM2 Force Pro S with the three new cameras
awesome.
For this year.
Awesome, man. Yeah, we have to get over to the booth and play
them
a little bit.
Yeah, when you can actually get on the floor, come over and check it out.
We got ways.
Hey, we'll have to show you after this.
Nice.
ATA hates us.
Yeah.
I don't know if they hate us, but they're going to hate us. I'm just kidding. They've been good to us so far. Except the hassling. We're setting up. Everyone on the floor is like, the fuck are you guys doing in here? Like, we get the wrong badge. I'm like, we're setting up. I'm carrying cargo.
Right.
Anyway, ATA, you need to fix it.
I mean, I understand why they want to do it. I get it.
I think it's good they do it.
When they surveyed the membership, like, I've been against, like, it. I don't like it. And it's different for every company, right? But my job is marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in sales. I am here to talk to my influencers. I am here to talk to the media. I am here, and they've literally taken 12 hours of work away from me, and now I have to cram it into 2 days.
Mm.
It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's really tough.
Yeah, that's a different perspective. I get it.
If you're a one man band, I get it. You can't have every Tom, Dick, and Harry walking up and trying to
bug you to do a video and a product review. And
but even that, like, who? If your approach to a trade show is to turn down advertising, you're probably not going to be back in 5 years anyway because you're not going to have a company.
It's right? Tough.
So
I get it. I don't blame ATA for doing
it.
So what we're talking about, people at home, the first day of the show is a buyer day.
Buyer day.
So no media, no one else is allowed on the show and floor. And I think they did it because you go back 3-4 years ago before COVID, mm-hmm. you go out there and it was everybody with a Facebook page that had a whatever outdoors team.
Yep.
It was a lot.
But the dirty little secret, and I've said this to ATA, so this isn't me saying anything behind their back I haven't said to their face. The dirty secret is the vast majority of those guys were always badged in by vendors.
Yeah, they were. Mm-hmm. They all were, for sure.
Because the number of badges that you could get for having a booth, and then Uncle Jimmy's Dopey from Paducah, Kentucky had... It was Uncle Jimmy here selling dopey, and then nine of his pro staffers, with 300 Instagram followers, a handycam, and 40 acres, telling me that they're going to revolutionize outdoor TV.
Mm-hmm.
No,
yeah.
Hey, heard it a million times.
This guy's on to something.
That's a good. That's what it was. Yeah.
That's what. And that largely hasn't changed.
And also, I do got to say, I've been to ATA as that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that I was going to revolutionize anything, but I just really came to party at the beginning.
But and that's – so, like, I've had this argument. I've only ever been burnt by two media members, and they were what would be considered traditional media folks.
TV?
No, they were – I mean, it was print guys.
Oh.
It was print guys. But they just – they never delivered on what they said they were going to do. Mm. For me, the folks that have always gotten it are this – like, especially for where I'm at right now, were the guys that were more social blogger podcaster because, like – the traditional model, and I kind of came in right in as the traditional model was dying. You know, I'm almost 15 years in the industry now. I came in as the traditional model was starting, not to die because it still exists, but as the new age model was coming in,
yeah,
right?
You're in transition.
Exactly.
As they say now, I think.
I mean, when I graduated, I mean, I took marketing classes in college. Social media was not yet a thing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Facebook,
that is crazy.
Facebook went public the year that I graduated college.
No kidding.
So I came into a marketing sphere that was completely changing as it was happening.
You're going to get paid for all those classes.
Yeah. There's another podcast.
Yeah.
Do, right?
So, you could write a hell of an ad in a newspaper, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. You just wait till you see the billboard ID next right? Next right. level.
Right.
So it's been we've always been, it used to be, I send you a camera, you use it, you write a 4,000-page feature in Outdoor Magazine X. Oh, great, look at this exposure we got.
Mm-hmm.
Does that still happen? Yes. But is that worth more than, hey, you know, I got this blog and we got blah, 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 blah. But when that guy gets a camera, he posts that he talked to me. Hey, just talk to the guys at Spy Point, super excited for what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, there's a mention.
Right.
Then I ship his camera. Oh, just got my. And then it's a picture on his porch. I just got this box. Blah, blah,
yeah.
And then he does the full unboxing. And then he uses it or like whatever. That guy is 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14 pieces of content by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, yeah.
And from a brand awareness standpoint, is one better than the other? No. Because I've always taken a very holistic approach to if we go back to the marketing side, right? Like I take a holistic approach. There are folks in across the hall that are scrap print, scrap TV, everything's digital. We're going social only.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible approach.
Yeah.
There are the tired old white dude contingent that are in there that, the internet thing, I don't know if that's going to really pan out.
It's not going to take off.
You'll never make it.
There's
it's the devil.
By and large, that element is disappearing, but that has very real element to the industry for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And neither one of those are right.
Yeah,
right.
For sure.
Because you have to meet your customers where they are.
Yeah.
And your customers are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You should be doing print. You should be doing TV. You should be doing digital. You should be doing social. You should be doing radio. You should be doing podcast. Like,
yeah.
It's all-encompassing, especially if we go back to talking about, well, how do I hit that guy that only hunts 2 or 3 days a year? Well, I'm on Sportsman Channel, and I'm in deer and deer hunting. Why doesn't he know about me? Because he doesn't read that magazine or watch that network.
Yeah,
why is
yeah.
this hard to understand?
Mm-hmm.
You got to find him somewhere else.
Yeah, man. Marketing's fun. It's a fun thing to think about. It might not be fun when it's your full-time livelihood. Maybe it is, though. You enjoy it, right? I'm sure.
I enjoy it, and the joy of marketing is in working for people that understand your challenges.
Mm-hmm.
If you work for people that do not understand or appreciate the way that you're trying to go to market, it's miserable, and I've had that job.
Yeah.
And it sucks. And there's a reason that marketing has high turnover, and there's a reason that, you know, CEOs never come out of marketing. CEOs come from finance. They come from operations. They never come from marketing. It's because when something goes wrong, well, let's switch up the marketing. Like, it just that mark, how many guys you've seen so many folks come and go in marketing every year. You know,
oh, shit.
I guarantee there's I would bet my next three paychecks that you have never been able to go from 1 year to the next as working class bow hunter and had none of your sponsors turn over a marketing contact.
Dude, we've seen a lot change. Like,
it does.
Yeah.
That's the department where things change. When you work for the right people, though, when you work for the people that either, you know, that understand it and appreciate it, and realistically, you know, especially in marketing. And really, I think people should apply this to a lot of other places. If you aren't willing to fail at something, all you're going to do is be a me too.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
If you're, I mean, it's just what it is.
It makes sense. We've been podcasting for, so it's going to be our eighth year.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Do the math. We started in beginning of 2015. So, yeah. I mean, we had one partnership. Lucky. Their whole marketing team got switched up, and we literally had no way to get a hold of anybody. Yeah. So it was like, wait, what? Okay.
I don't work there anymore.
It's like, all right, yeah. It's like, hey, I'm not there. Like, it's just like we've seen it change a handful. Mm-hmm. Not all. It hasn't all been bad.
No,
but it's like you see how quick some of that, the turnover with some people is that, and it's just life, I guess. But interesting. It's interesting to think about. I like the marketing talk. I think it's fun, especially related to the hunting industry. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people listening, they're listening at work, and they always think about like, well, what could I do in the hunting industry? That everybody wants a job in the hunting industry.
They do.
But they think they do. Yep. They think they
do. I've just pull the string on Woody and I've got thoughts on that. It's just at the end of the day, whatever you're doing right now, are you, well, maybe not if you're a plumber, but like if you do accounting, if you do marketing, if you do operations, like your job exists in the outdoor industry. Mm-hmm. And it has absolutely nothing to do with drawing a bow, pulling a trigger, checking trail cam photos.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I said, you know, I
kind most of, jobs don't no, have any of that in
no,
it.
No,
yeah.
I mean, and even the holy grail is outdoor TV, right? Mm-hmm. Man, I want to hunt for a living. Outdoor TV hosts do not hunt for a living.
I love this conversation.
They have a sales job.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pay Melissa Bachman to go hunting. Pay Melissa Bachman to market.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
she has to market to get me to pay her to do that. There aren't people. You've worked the consumer shows, man. Look at this big deer I killed. I'm gonna go get. No, you're not gonna go get sponsors killing one deer. Mm-hmm. You're not.
No.
Do you have a media kit? What are your deliverables?
Yeah.
What are your KPIs? What are you doing for me?
Yep.
They have a sales job.
The media kit side as a, I get influencer or salespeople.
Mm-hmm.
There, I've seen, not that I'm not saying our media kit's amazing, but our media kit, I think, has all the necessary information in it.
Right.
And I've had like other people that I know, buddies and stuff, show me their media kit. And I'm like, I don't know anything about you from your media kit.
Yep. I have had meetings. There are names that I could mention that 80% of your listeners would know instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know exactly who that person is that didn't even have a media kit. Couldn't tell me what they were going to do for me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got a bunch of followers. You should give me money. Why?
Right. Why? It's like, where's it going? What's going to happen?
What are you doing? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Having an outdoor TV show. If you want to make $1 million in outdoor TV, start with two. Because you're not hunting for a living. And
yeah,
and
no,
the
not.
Other thing, I've been on like, and I need to back up before I say anything else. Like, I love my job.
About to get spicy.
No, it's actually, it's going to be heartfelt and warm. So if we come back in post-production and put like the Hallmark Channel music underneath me, it'll help. Okay. So I love my job and I love working in this industry. But when my brother's a teacher, when he was doing his student teaching, he had me come in and talk to the kids that like, we're not going to go to college, whatever. And when I told them I'm in Northeast Indiana, so I tell them what I do for a living. It's when I was marketing manager for an optics company. They're like, oh my, do you have your dream job? And I stop for a second and I'm like, in a lot of ways, yes. I'm going to say something that your teacher is not going to like. Anybody that tells you that if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life is lying to you. Because it's not true.
Yeah.
I said, before I started with the optics company, who I will not mention by name, I said, I was unemployed. And if Dan Schmidt from Deer and Deer Hunting would have called me up and said, Trent Marsh, Dan Schmidt, Deer and Deer Hunting, I need 1,500 word article for you. I got open pace in Deer and Deer Hunting magazine. Mm-hmm. I would have wet myself. I'd have been so happy for that opportunity.
Yeah.
I said, now I know Dan Schmidt. He's a friend. I talk to Dan regularly. If he calls me today and says, Trent Marsh, Dan Schmidt, Deer and Deer Hunting magazine, I need 1,500 words for the next article. Issue. It's an item on a to-do list.
Yeah.
And yes, my to-do list is cooler than a lot of other to-do lists. And I right. love that. But I enjoy being industry adjacent and hunting adjacent as much as I enjoy being in the tree. Mm-hmm. And for most people, that's not true. And mm-hmm. the people that you see flame out in this industry, that's what happens, is they think they're going to get here and it's all hunting with their buddies. And mm-hmm. like, that's not what it, I'm working yeah. on trade show environmentals. I'm working on press. Like, it's real work that has to be done. Yep. And I enjoy that part of it. And that marketing mm-hmm. jigsaw puzzle, I enjoy that as much as I do my 6 days of hunting that I'd have been yeah. more happy for my kid to kill his first deer than yeah. me to get one this year. Right. Like, yeah. it's just that portion of it is what I love about my job.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's so, a lot of people don't see the behind the scenes.
No,
yeah. yeah.
You can't, when you, and it's not their fault. They yeah. can't know.
Right, right.
Like, because,
and also, it goes to the movie thing we were talking about earlier. I was like, they don't really have to envision what goes on behind the scenes. Just enjoy it for what it is.
Even
whatever,
this podcast,
know?
Right? Like, everybody's going to listen to this podcast and they're going to watch the video and they're like, man, that looks cool. I want Trent's job so I can go just sit. Yeah, but
he's
you
bitching
didn't,
a lot.
You didn't see.
And he hates people.
You didn't see the last 6 months of planning that came into getting here so that we could have yeah. this 60-minute podcast,
right?
The hours of work that go into everything else.
Yep, for sure.
Like that's the part that I want people to understand. And I told those kids, I said, if you love the activity of hunting, get in the asphalt business, because you're going to work from April to September
be a
and
doctor.
You are off yeah, all yeah. winter and you're going to make a lot of money.
Yeah. yeah.
Like,
yeah,
figure it out. Point. If you, man, I love cars and I'm into drag racing, and I'm going to be a mechanic. Great. You know what's not as fun as drag racing and tuning a carburetor on your drag car? Changing brake pads on a soccer mom's minivan. Not the same thing.
Not the same. You're in the automotive industry, yes.
Or being a mechanic and then going home and working on your own shit.
Right.
right. It sucks, trust right. me.
You never get a break from it, yeah.
But like I said, it's the same with outdoor TV. It's the same with podcast. Like, mm-hmm. there's all kinds of work going in behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. That
the
it's
conversation's
the work that you're
fun.
Already doing.
Yeah, and I think the conversation's fun and it's necessary, you know.
Oh, 100%.
Because, dude, how often do you listen to a podcast or watching something on lunch break at your job that you might not love, or maybe it's just okay and you're just there and you think about doing something else? It's like, it's fun conversation, because you always think, like, what if I was there? But, yeah, then, you know, I'm where I want to be. But like you said, like, one more thing is, like, fuck, because mm-hmm. it's another thing on the to-do list, which I'm not complaining. It's just how it is. Whereas at Deer, when I worked there, I'd be like, I'm not fucking doing that, because right. I'm going to do these other things, and I'll just not right. do that until somebody's right. like, hey, man, do you ever do that? Like, oh, yeah.
I forgot.
I'll have it to you Friday. You know what I mean? But if I don't do that for myself or for Working Class Boner in general as a brand, it's like, fuck, I didn't do that. And right. You know what I mean? So I have to get that done.
And I think the reason a lot of, like, I did a coffee talk earlier. Me and Michelle Sherman did a coffee talk about social media burnout.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people that come into the industry and leave, it's that, it's a flame out. It's a burnout, because the toughest thing to do is calibrate. And when you love hunting and you've decided, all right, I'm going to go into the hunting industry and that's going to be my job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I left that optics company, I didn't want to hunt deer. I didn't. I wanted to go fishing and I wanted to do waterfowl hunting, because I didn't need optics for either one of them.
Mm.
Because I didn't feel like I could go sit in a tree. Like, every time I sat in a tree, I'm like, okay, what do I have to do for work? I wasn't hunting. I was working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And before I got on my money trail, like, everybody thinks they want to be on hunting TV. Being filmed hunting for television is the most stressful, unenjoyable, miserable experience of your life.
Yeah.
It just is. And if you, you know, you guys talk to a lot of the, you know, the Drurys and everything, like, they will tell you, most of them will tell you, it's not as fun as you think. And you could do what I do if you spent 80 hours a week in a tree stand. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And frankly, most people wouldn't want to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's true. 10 a.m. I ate my Little Debbie. I ate my ham sandwich. My feet are cold. Screw this shit. I'm going home.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't do that when you've got 13 original episodes to deliver.
Right.
You can't do that when you have to backfill social media. Yeah. You can't do that when you have deliverables and KPIs and six-figure contracts that you have to fulfill with sponsors. Or guess what?
Yeah,
you're going back to Piggly Wiggly and bagging groceries.
Dude, that's for real. That's a stress. That's a different type of stress. And it's probably
how many years do people not kill deer? Now, dude, you can't go a year without killing deer.
You have to.
You yeah. can't make a hunt without killing deer, bear, mule deer, yeah. elk. Nobody's showing up. at 7:30 on a Thursday night to watch you eat tag soup. That yeah. shit's not happening.
Watch you film birds.
You have to do it.
Well, yeah. Well, and dude, we've been around some of them guys, you know, the juries and Perry and mm-hmm. Wade and the farm managers, and that's a grind.
Yeah.
And, you know, from
they're working time,
September time before and every day. Mm-hmm. You know, we went down to – well, I saw them guys on New Year's. Perry the next day is out hunting that morning. You know what I mean? It's – there's just – when their line of work, it's like your passion's your job, which is great. There's just no casual days yeah. off.
But like I said, most they don't see how much has to go into it.
Yeah.
And then it becomes all, like I said, you don't get to enjoy hunting for what it is anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your hunting is work.
Right.
And then yeah. it takes the joy out of it. And when you don't enjoy something, the quality slips.
Yep,
when the
yep.
quality slips, you get fired. And then when yep. you get fired, you can't go anywhere else because what you just did wasn't good.
And that's why I'm glad we're a podcast. We don't have to film. But, you know, we do film some stuff, you know. But I think that conversation becomes more and more. It's like, when are you guys going to start filming all your hunts? It's like, fuck. Well, I do like having them filmed because I like going back and watching them yep. for my own personal enjoyment. And that, I think that's the difference in doing it to trying to please other people with the video.
But like yeah, what but you just said is the biggest pain in the ass. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd rather just talk, man.
Talk about it later.
Talk about it later. And the number of deer that are still walking around on this earth because people ran out of camera light.
Yeah, that ain't like, happening to me.
I mean, just
hell no.
I'll fill that part in and yeah. post.
You'll see that lighted knock.
I'm not here to program the podcast for you, but the next time you talk to Mark or Terry, hey, how many inches of bone are still on this earth?
It's a good question.
Because
that is a good question for them.
You got him. I don't have light. What do you mean?
Fuck your camera.
Uh-huh.
That's what I would say.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah, that's tough.
I don't have enough light to hear my bow go off.
But hey, they got to do it.
I mean, Mark and Terry alone, that's four figures. I guarantee there are thousands of inches of bone still walking around because 180 showed up.
Oh, dude, you watch deer season, you know, 21 or 22, whatever, you know, whatever year you're watching that on DeerCast, and there's videos of the buck they're hunting in the food plot, and they're in the blind. They're just like, it looks, I'm like, shit, I'd shoot. You know what I mean? I know you have enough legal shooting light, but the camera light.
But the camera light's
like,
not there.
There's just not enough light. Oh, we're just going to watch them for 15 more minutes until it's dark. It's like, fuck that, dude. Shoot
that guy, dude.
I'd already shot by the time he said that.
Oh, yeah. How low is it?
Uh-huh.
Don't uh-huh. care.
I don't know.
I'd be right in front of, I'd look back at Terry and just say, I thought I heard you say kill him. Oh. I swear to God, I thought you heard you
oh,
say
I
kill him.
Oh, I thought you said the camera had enough light.
Yeah.
Oh, you've only got 15 more minutes to kill him. Yeah. Oh, I'll do it now. Yeah, then.
Yeah. We're doing it
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Here it goes.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, dude, I appreciate you coming in. And I think it was the right, we were due for this podcast. We talked heavy trail cams last year, but we talked yeah. trail cams this one, but we got to learn a little more about your brain. On this one.
About your brain.
Sorry about that. Brain.
I love it, dude. These podcasts are refreshing. Not everything needs to be one giant yeah. hour-long sales pitch.
No. Right.
I think the people behind the brand and how they are and down to earth, yep. that they're just regular dudes.
People love it.
Just as important as being like, buy the flex for an hour straight.
Right.
That's you can burn people out by doing that.
100%.
So,
yep.
Well done. Appreciate your partnership. Yep. And thanks for boxing out an hour to talk with your boys.
I got to sit down.
Yeah.
So, you know, just
in a quiet room.
You're
yeah.
welcome.
Got to talk yeah. about cowboy exactly. hats.
We can talk about cowboy hats. Yeah.
Cool. When's everything available? Is it ready to go?
Summer 2023.
Cool.
Summer 2023. You know, awesome. We'll always try to deliver as early as possible, but it'll be here in time for season for sure.
Perfect.
Cool. Go to SpyPoint.com. Check it out. Of course, we're on all the social medias. Find us.
MySpace.
Do the thing.
Vine.
Yeah, yep. We've got our top six songs. Vine.
Dude, bring back your top friends.
Yeah. 100%.
Dude.
Tom.
Doug, it's a pleasure, like guys. Last one. It's always fun.
Thank you, buddy.
Even with Doug, it's still fun.
Yeah. A little weird, Doug.
A little weird.
I didn't make it weird at all.
You going to try his product?
Might as well.
Yeah, give her a go.
What could go wrong?
My man.
You don't want to use the product that he's already had his finger in.
Do you want to use this one? I already
not
used
right now,
it.
No.
Do you want to use this one? I already
not
used
right
it.
Not right now.
Put it on your face.
Later, man. I'll get that later.
Do it now on camera.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Awesome, man. Well, appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Anything?
Nope.
Thanks for coming on.
Get out of here. We're done talking.
Yeah. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you. Peace.